Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough. You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM.
Mabuhay mga kapwa, congratulations to us. Maraming salamat. Ang merci po tulo support ko na yung the premier episode. Grabe, nakakatawa talaga ng puso, di ba? We are an entire team here in Radio Kapwa, which is my extension Sound Kapwa. And I want to say a brief shout out to everyone who's listening because I know y'all are listening to us. Una Rehino, your graphics is the first thing that the people see when they look us up. And for those who wants to reconnect more about what's happening in the homeland, John Marvin Reyes is keeping us in touch with his segment. Abidar Juan ensures that we know what's happening around us here in Dodiaghi, the Turtle Island, with the local news. We have Ate Alele Ocampo, the informal, who equipped us with career advice with her segment, Career Minutes. We have JC Apolonio, who are part of the marketing team, along with our co-host, Des, in here. Laura, Benny, the Hiraya Productions, our sound engineers. Special mention to Laura, who did our intro and outro to our Radio Kapwa's jingle. We have Catalina Perez de Manuel, who is our guest coordinator, who will be contacting you all, my dear Kapwa, to join us here in Radio Kapwa. Hensley Pedrosa, we didn't forget you. Our Sound Kapwa secretary, who keeps our program forward with our Alele Ocampo. And shout outs to us, friends. I didn't forget you. You're right there. This is our entire team's work. And I want to say that for those who DM'd me and said congratulations, it's congratulations to all of us. We are rising, as said by our dear Filipinos of Montreal, Terry Reyes, from their Pika Pika video to promote Filipino of Concordia University students' focus show pow screening. Oh my goodness. There are a lot of people behind us and our success is your success. We're all pulling each other up and no more of that crab mentality. We are now bringing each other up. And I invite my two co-hosts now to also join my energy. Yes?
Yes, definitely. I am meeting your energy. I am over the bucket. We don't belong in the bucket. Crab mentality in the garbage. And yes, there's a lot of people behind this show, behind the whole team, but there's also a lot of people joining us here today. So I don't want to take too much time with the introductions because I want to make sure we have enough time to have a conversation. But I'll pass it to Des to just say hello.
Hello, everybody. Thank you again for listening. And thank you to everybody for all of your love and support from our last episode last week, which we focused on land acknowledgements. So, let's dive into the show.
Before we move forward, I just realized that it does set the tone first episode that we had where we have two of our queer Filipinx Kapwa to open the first episode. The jingle is by Laura and then our first song was by Kimortal, Sad Fam Club, who also was shouted by AOC. So that's pretty cool. So to jump off our Pride Month, we want to let's go listen to Paninindigan Kita by Ben and Ben.
Sagutin mo lang ako, paninindigan kita, mamahalin kita, buong buo. Kahit sa pagtanda ko'y siya.
kapit ka na sinta. Nawawala ang angas ko, pilit man na itago pa. Grabe kasi paano mo ko itahan kapag
you are listening to Radio Kapwa CKUT 90.3 FM. And that was Paninindigan Kita by Ben and Ben. Ben and Ben is a Filipino-based rock band artist. They are very, very big right now. And for me, this is more special. But before I start, I want to say happy Pride to everyone, actually. Here in Dadiage, colonially known as Montreal, our Pride is in the month of August. I explained this twice to people because June is what is internationally known as the Pride Month. And I purposely used this song as our first song because Ben and Ben, they have a lot of queer bands in their rock band. And this song is actually influenced and it's kind of like an homage to their relationship as a sapphic couple. And then it also hits for a lot of the hetero relationship. We Filipinos are very romantic, so I purposely put that on. For today's episode or for today's show, we want to talk about decolonization, but also it's Pride. So we want to connect that to our program. But before we start, I think France wants to offer this music that you just exposed to me yesterday, and I give it to you to introduce it to us.
Sure, I'm super happy to introduce you to Grace Nono, an amazing artist from the Philippines. We're going to be playing her song called Dosayan, and I invite you to be transported into this beautiful world. So Grace Nono was actually a pop artist in the Philippines, I would say around like 60s, 70s. And what's so special about her is that in her quest to kind of figure out her sound, figure out her music, she started researching. Well, what is authentic, original Filipino sound? And that is what brought her to her decolonization journey. She started spending some time with some tribes in the Philippines, and there's actually many tribes who have gifted her and honored her with ceremonial chants that she is basically the keeper of. She's the keeper of a lot of these ceremonial chants. So if you want to learn more about Grace Nono, you can look up her book called Song of the Babaylan, and stay tuned for more conversation on decolonization, and please enjoy Dosayan by Grace Nono. You were transported and enjoyed that wonderful journey we all took together. We were all up in the chat here because we're recording online, and everyone was like, oh my goodness. I've actually been blessed to be on a retreat where Grace Nono literally woke us up every morning chanting and lured us to go by the water. So it's been great. So encouraging you all to learn more about Filipino music, Filipino culture. So up next, we have our dear Kapwa connecting us back with the news from the homeland. What do you have for us today, John Marvin?
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes. I go for he and him pronouns. A youth leader and a community organizer here bringing important news back home in the Philippines. The source for this week's news is from Al Jazeera. The title is Philippine Ex-President Fidel Ramos Dies at 94. The former Philippine President Fidel Ramos, who oversaw a rare period of steady growth and peace that won him the reputation as the one of the country's most effective leaders ever, has died aged 94, according to official. Known as Teddy Eddie for his unflappable demeanor during the country's regular moments of upheaval, he was frequently pictured chewing until cigars as he led the Philippines between 1992 and 1998. A career military man, he was the first Protestant to win the top office in the overwhelming Catholic nation, despite opposition from some in the church. But like other top officials of his generation, Ramos played as a role in the dictatorship of Ferdinand Marcos Sr., which saw thousands killed and thousands arbitrarily imprisoned. It is with great sorrow that we learn of the passing of former President Fidel Ramos, said Trixie Cruz Angeles, press secretary for President Marcos Jr., the son and namesake of the late dictator who took office last month. He leaves behind a colorful legacy and a secure place in history for his participation in the great changes of our country, both as military officer and chief executive. Ramos' family is expected to release a statement later on Sunday. The cause of death has not been released. Ramos emerged from the high-ranking security role during the dictatorship of Marcos Sr. to win the vote for the nation's highest office. Ramos became a hero to many for defecting from Marcos' government, in which he led the National Police Force, spurring the dictator's downfall during the 1986 popular uprising against his rule. Others, though, would not forgive him or forget his role in enforcing martial law under the Marcos regime. Ramos narrowly won a contested election in 1992 to replace the People Power leader Corazon Aquino, who unseated Marcos. Though he gained less than 23% of the vote, Ramos soon polled at 66% support, and his presidency was remembered for a period of peace, stability, and economic growth. Known as FVR, Ramos attended the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and fought in the Korean War in the 1950s as a platoon leader. He served in the late 1960s in Vietnam as a leader of a Philippine Civil Action Group. Ramos held every rank in the Philippine Army from the second lieutenant to commander-in-chief. He never lost at military bearing and swagger, bragging many times, no soft jobs for Ramos. His six-year administration opened the country's economy to foreign investment through deregulation and liberalization policies. Ramos broke up monopolies in the transport and communication sectors. Through special powers granted by Congress, he restored the ailing electricity sector, ending debilitating 12-hour power outages that plagued the country. During his tenure, the Philippine economy surged and poverty rates fell to 31% from 39% through his social reform agenda. Ramos fought right-wing, leftist, and Muslim rebels during his time in the military, but later held peace talks with all enemies of the state, including rogue and soldiers, who attempted nearly a dozen times to unseat Aquino during his tenure. He eventually signed a peace agreement with the Moro National Liberation Front separatist in 1996 and succeeded in shrinking the number of Maoist-led fighters to more than 5,400 rebels from a high of 25,000 in early 1986. Ramos was a multitasking workaholic and athletic leader. When he was military chief, he would play golf and jog at the same time, running after his ball. His early morning jog was legendary among his staff officers, and even at 80, he would jump to reenact what he did during the revolt in 1986. The article is written July 31, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is John Marvin delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
Thank you so much, John Marvin. And of course, we also want to make sure that you are up to date with what is happening here in Jojage on Turtle Island. So thank you so much, Abby, for our local news.
Good afternoon, mga kapwa. It's Abby, back at it again with another local news. So my topic for this week is a topic that I'm pretty sure most of you have heard of already. It's the cancellation of the Pride Parade on Sunday, August 7, 2022. Montreal Pride organizer says parade was canceled because hiring staff was, quote, never done. So this is according to CBC.ca. According to the article, the reason behind the shocking last-minute cancellation of Montreal's Pride Parade can be boiled down to a simple yet glaring oversight, according to the event's lead organizer, a failure to hire security staff. The parade was canceled on Sunday morning, just hours before it was set to kick off. A lot of people were expected, at least tens and thousands of people, to come and join the parade. Some people even traveled to come and join the fun. In an interview with CBC Montreal's Daybreak host Sean Henry, Simon Gamache, who is the organizer of this event, said when he learned about 100 security staff was needed to monitor the parade route, had never been hired. It was never done, he said. And he is the Pride's executive director. It's something that they are investigating right now since they are taking this case very seriously and they don't want to speculate at the moment. Some holding impromptu events on their own that day went in and continued their parade even though the event was cancelled in their own little way, such as going to the park or going to the Fierté Montréal concert. Monday's march would have been the city's first large-scale Pride parade since the start of the pandemic. Initially, Montreal Pride has tweeted that the decision to cancel the event was made in collaboration with the Montreal Police. The organizer later corrected its statement, saying the decision was made by the organizers alone. Cancellation caught a lot of people off guard, including the Montreal mayor, Valérie Plante. So there's still an investigation going on, and for more updates, we will be announcing it by next week if we do get any, since they're still looking for information to get to the bottom of what really happened and why the parade was cancelled. So this is Abby with your local news, and have a great rest of your day.
Era sentir tu el... pidió era olvida yo contigo. Una luba pi o tu bawag pa at pagkamasampala kita. Porque contigo yo escogí, ahora mi corazón te sufrí. Bien simple la mía te pedí, era sin ti.
Hello, hello, mabuhay! For those who just tuned in, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. We are Radio Kapwa, and that was Porque by Maldita. And yes, Porque by Maldita, you might be wondering, like, whoa, this is Radio Kapwa, where it's a Filipino radio show, but that sounded something like Spanish. And I want to use this as an opportunity to talk about how it's called Chabacano, and it's a Spanish-based Creole spoken in the Mindanao area, the southern part of the Philippines. Our Latinx primos and primas may be like, oh, I understand a little bit, but I don't understand what is happening in here. And this is because we got colonized by the Spanish Empire for at least 300 years. And it's the language that they incorporated their language to us, and we kind of also took up some of their languages, which explain why it kind of just blend through and it became a Chavacano language in the Philippines. And so, yes, I opened the space for everyone also to jump in. We did a little bit of impromptu programming here because of Pride, and we have a lot of our Kapwas in here who wants to chime in.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump in. Thank you. Just to open up this conversation on decolonization. So, you know, what is decolonization? What does it mean to be on a decolonization journey? What does it mean to be colonized? Is a lot of questions that I get from folks when I talk about this or when people read this. So I just wanted to open up this conversation because as Vero mentioned, we have a lot of our Kapwa here because, you know, the decolonization journey is different. The experience is different for all of us living in the diaspora. And we all have different experiences, and it's really, really important to highlight that. So I just wanted to open up the conversation by reading an excerpt from the thesis that Joanna Catalina Latour submitted, which was entitled Decolonizing and Re-Indigenizing Filipinos in Diaspora. And that was submitted in 2016. And I heard this today on the Cultivating Kapwa podcast, which I make an effort or I intentionally listen to it every day just to soak in the knowledge from our fellow Kapwa doing great things and sharing beautiful stories. It could be heavy depending on where you are on this journey. So I'm just disclaiming that before I start. Colonized peoples experience a unique set of psychological and physical consequences that result from the process of colonization, including physical, spiritual, and epistemic violence through the process of colonization has been largely romanticized and given an innocuous, if not beneficial, position in the history books. Harms due to colonization include resource depletion, displacement, extraction of wealth from communities, landscapes, coerced labor, and the loss of people, mass murder, and culture. a growing body of knowledge has begun to explicate the psychological harms of colonization as observed in descendants of colonized people, such as historical trauma, colonial trauma response, and colonial mentality. So again, this conversation is really, you know, how have we felt not Filipino enough because of this colonial mentality? Where do we have colonial mentality? And how can, you know, let's all share our experiences in hopes of decolonizing our minds and decolonizing our communities. So I'm just going to start by sharing my decolonization story. Again, what is decolonization from my experience as a second generation Filipina born in Montreal? It was really, you know, my entire life, it was Spain came and conquered the Philippines, and life started when Spain entered the country. And before that, there was nothing, and we were Christian, and I lived that way for a very long time, and it was wonderful. However, I came to a point in my life where I didn't feel like I was enough. I didn't have enough degrees. I wasn't, you know, good enough for work. I constantly felt this soulful, spirited not enoughness and didn't know where that came from. And it wasn't until I started to ask, why are my parents so religious? Why are certain things so important? Where did that come from? Which led me to reconnect with friends, and she graciously gifted me with beautiful books and, you know, planted these seeds, which led me to become curious about, you know, the day before Spain came, brought their ships into the Philippines. And I can honestly say at 43 years old, I have never felt so grounded to connecting to the motherland, to the pre-colonial Filipino culture, or the pre-colonial in me, in us. So that is my decolonization journey, and it is a continuous journey, and it is a beautiful journey, again, to feel grounded in what was before we were told that we were not enough.
Thank you for that, Des. I think a lot of us can resonate with your story. I really want to take the time to, you know, listen to our lovely queer kapwa that we have here in studio today. So for those of you who weren't aware, there was supposed to be a beautiful Pride celebration Sunday, August 7th, and it was canceled because apparently the SPVM could not guarantee the safety of the participants. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that could be said about this. I'm sure we're all ready to go in and rant. But first, I want to introduce you to all our beautiful, beloved kapwa that are here with us today. So I will pass it to you, Coco.
What's up, everyone? Yes, my name is Coco Mariano. I go by they, them. I am an artist, designer, and researcher. And I am pissed that the system, spelled CIS-TEM, canceled our pride. It's like, are you kidding me? You're just checking now that you don't have enough volunteers to ensure our safety. Well, let me tell you something, Fierté Montréal, the martial arts dykes could have covered security for you. So I'm just a little pissed off. And by the way, I went to the trans march yesterday, which was organized by like three youths and like community members. And the SPVM came in and tried to like derail the route again. And guess what? Everyone figured it out and we did it. So it's kind of weird that y'all got all the funding and couldn't step your pussies up. Passing it off.
Anyone want to pick up from there? I don't want to take up too much space. I feel like there's a really important conversation here that needs to be had. So who else wants to jump in? Who else is ready? Jella?
Hello, it's Jella. My name is Jella. This is my sister, Jolie's. My pronouns are they, them.
She, her.
I was also at the trans march yesterday, but I just joined the march in Chinatown, and I thought it was really peaceful. Even like the police was like blocking the roads whenever they have to cross the main streets. So I thought it was really nice. And then like when I woke up this morning, they're like, oh, we don't have enough cops to protect it. I'm like, we don't need cops and pride.
We don't need fucking cops, yo.
We don't need cops and pride. And I was like, oh, is it because we were chanting fuck the police last night in front of Palais de Justice? Is that why they're like, oh, so people are gonna think like that on the Pride tomorrow, we should cancel? That's what I thought. Then I'm like, oh well, it would make sense if that's the reason, but yeah. And this is my first Pride too, so I was so excited. And all of my friends have been telling me that, like, oh, Pride is like super white, super corporate. Like, a lot of my friends were gonna skip it today, and they were right. It's bad.
Yeah, I think also, you know, this really links to decolonization and colonization, because, you know, a lot of folks talk about how, oh, maybe we can reform the police, maybe we can change things. But how do you change something that's like literally rotten at its core, at its root? So taking the time here to remind folks that the police was created, the police was invented to keep enslaved Black people in line. It was created, it was invented to keep Indigenous people in their reserves. The RCMP was literally invented to keep Native people in their reserves. And that's how this all links to decolonization and the policing of bodies that are understood as other, right? Would love to hear your top thoughts, Deanne.
Hi, everybody. I'm Deanne Nardo. I go by they, she, xia. I'm a community artist and poet. So this was also meant to be like my first big Pride, because I've never gone because of cops and corporatism. And I wanted to go to show up for Kapwa. I've made a lot of amazing queer friends this past year. And so I was like, yeah, let's go. Pride is a protest, you know? and let's not forget that. And I also want to say that, like you said, cops are the violent arm of the state. And for a corporate pride to go hand in hand and work with cops is antithetical to pride as a protest. And also it puts it in a weird position where, you know, now a lot of people who are upset that wanted to show up and be seen and see each other, are planning all of these different get-togethers. And because the cops turned down the initial major pride, they put them in these spaces of illegality, right? So like now we're not safe in the one thing that was meant to be like a legal get together with a bunch of people because of that, you know, working with the cops thing. And so that's kind of puts all of these people in another form of like precarity, just going out wanting to be seen and be seen by each other. So yeah, it's really tough because like, yeah, I couldn't go to the trans march yesterday, but my partner have been working hard with Aztec, who is the group that put it together. And they were making the banners until 4 a.m., trying to put together all and like get all of the volunteers to, you know, trained and everything, and constantly like keeping everybody safe while the cops are hovering around. It's just like, it's so annoying. And like this question of funding as well that Coco mentioned, it's like, yeah, the cops got so much funding as well this year for what? Right. There's all these questions brewing, and I just wanted to say, just to close it off, there is an alternative pride in Montreal called Perversité, and it's a radical anti-corporate queer trans fest. And right now they're getting together to do like planning and stuff like that Tuesdays at 6 p.m. So, if you go to their Instagram, it's there. And they're also doing call outs for any queer folks out there, cutie BIPOC, who wants to do any workshops, parties, anything like that, that's like anti-corporate and radical, feel free to hit them up. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that, Deanne. And thank you for reminding everyone. Yes, Pride is a protest, right? We're here to be truth tellers. We're here to be corrective because we've been fed a whole bunch of lies for so long. So reminding everyone again that Marsha P. Johnson is the one who started it all, a Black trans woman was the one to throw the first stone at Stonewall in 1969. So this is the queer history that we want to spread. This is the queer history we want to celebrate and make sure continues to stay at the forefront. It's so funny because we invited a whole bunch of our queer community here today to join in this conversation. And I feel like folks are getting quiet now. What is going on? Vero, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts. Coco, please, by all means, jump in again if you want to. But I want to say, like, what are they doing with all this money? Like, they get so much money all the time. The Brotherhood, the police, like, what? Like, I just see fancy cars every year, you know, like new uniforms, things like that, or like toys, right? Like, to them, it's toys, right? Like, guns and weapons and things like that are things that kill BIPOC communities, but to them, it's just fun and materials for their work and toys. And that's literally where, like, all of our taxes go. And we keep instead defunding community initiatives. We keep instead, you know, removing money from education, removing money from social services that support queer youth, who again are the ones with the highest percentage of suicide rates. You know, it's like, if you look at the numbers, it's really, really the marginalized communities that suffer from this excessive funding of police.
Okay, so I'm speaking now, my rant, my time to rant. I just want to say that I was heartbroken when I literally posted a picture of me already. And then someone who's joining us for the Pride just sent me the TVA Nouvelle, and I'm just like, it can't be real. I have to go to Fierté Montréal. It's not even there yet. They haven't even announced it yet. SPVM has not even announced it yet, but an hour before, like, everyone was supposed to convene and try to, like, set things up, and they canceled it. It's not, like, if this is a corporate, if this is a business, like, company, and you cancel the meeting, like, a very big organ, like meeting like this an hour before, this is completely unacceptable and completely unprofessional. And the fact that they are paid with our tax money, the SPVM, and who could not guarantee our safety as members of this public, just goes to, I can just say that y'all are fucking homophobe. That's it. Because there are other organizations in there with much bigger crowd as well. And y'all are able to secure their security as member of the public. And so we, like Diane has said, some other organizations have already been organizing and, like, preparing their pancart and preparing all of the things that they needed to do. It's one of my first time, I guess one of my first time trying to gather a lot of my Filipino queers to come and then join the parade with us. And I think a big chunk of them were like, it's my first time going to the Pride. And, like, for me as, like, an ate, would be like, okay, so all of my water bottles in the freezer. And it's like, it was already like making sure all of the batas are, like, well hydrated, cold water, and all of those kind of things. And I was able to connect with so much of our Filipino queers in here, those who are still not comfortable being out. And I thought that it was a great opportunity for us to physically be in the space and disrupt it and let people know that there are Filipino queers out here, and we need this solidarity and this collective and this support for one another. And if for it to be canceled, like, less than an hour, I think it's heartbreaking, and it goes to show that it makes me think that they don't care about us, right? I understand the security is a very big it's a very important thing, and I know that there's going to be an alternative protest that's happening. I definitely support that one. But as a big ate now, I also want to show, I also want to, like, tell people that we're BIPOC. They see us, and we're more prone to this type of violence from them. Like, the past prides already, we have seen a lot of violence. When June happened, we saw a lot of violence. And I even told my partner, like, we gotta be on the lookout because we never know what's going to happen. Coco, you have a comment to respond?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, I completely resonate with what you're saying. And honestly, right now, I feel completely gaslit by all this crap that they're telling us, like, oh, we're going to cancel it for your security. Like, I'm sorry, we're just a bunch of baklas getting in the street. And, like, yes, it is 100% a protest, but it's also a goddamn celebration of who I am and how long I've come on this journey to self-acceptance. So if you want to protect our security, why don't you have some harm reduction places that are set up there, or, like, I don't know, put some of that money into places where I can feel safe in my body. Like, don't tell me last minute and then play it off as if it's for my security. Like, this is, I'm just so over it. I'm so over idiots running our friggin' system.
Let it out, let it out. I feel you. And they don't, but they really don't care, actually, because even when the news came out, like Journal de Montréal published, before it was even on like the SPVM's like website or anything like that. It's like, if this was like a really like a multi-billion dollar shareholder, there would have been a beautifully curated tweet placed in a really timely way, in a timely manner on your website with all the excuses and all the apologies. And it's like, no, the community had to learn about it like random through the grapevine, basically, you know? So that's what's really frustrating. It's like, when you care about someone, you also, or a community, you also communicate that well, right?
Yeah, like come on, it's like Fierté Montréal. It's a big, it's a very big organization, and for it to be canceled like this is just completely enraging. The police here in Quebec have already been receiving a lot of funding. We recently saw that Ottawa is giving them more funding to combat the gun violence, but did we not forget that we also have a growing number of feminicide happening in the province? So where is all of this money coming from? Like, what is happening? They put and injected some money to the cold cases, and yet like nothing was resolved. They have nothing to show up. There literally is nothing. So if you go on and ask for funding, you gotta go show result. And it's been at least 2 to 3 years, have nothing to show up. So I think that we should rage. We should rage. This is completely unacceptable. If you even take off the pride stuff, so the feminicide, the gun violence, and they still like claiming like, oh, we want a firing range to practice our shooting. I'm like, okay, what? Oh, how about the hospitals where a lot of Filipinos are working on, to the shortages that the whole entire Turtle Island has been suffering into? I think that the media should really pick it up more at the fact that, oh, our healthcare system is breaking. It's not breaking, it's broken. It has been broken. So stop gaslighting us and start rerouting all of this budget to what matters, which is the care economy, where it's mostly dominated by women, by queer people, by immigrants, by young people. They are the one who's undeserved. Like, they need all of this funding for us to not go onto this cycle of violence on and on and on and on. And I'll stop ranting in here, and I'll give it to Coco to further, or Jella. I'm not sure who was raising their hand.
Oh yeah, no. I just want to wrap it up to what Desiree was saying earlier, and I've just been thinking about how like upholding the police and the state is like a form of, as a way to uphold colonization, and specifically for me, religion, because it's all based on like punitive justice and like catching people and punishing them, which is what a lot of, you know, Catholicism is, which has been deeply ingrained in us Filipinx people. So I firmly believe that defunding is decolonizing. Jella, did you have something to add?
Sorry. Yeah, I just want to say that I resonate with everything, like all this angry sentiments out here. Like, it's gonna be my first Pride as well, and I was kind of complaining to my sibling and also with Vero how, I don't know, like queer Filipinos are like, don't have like a place or like, are like a space to like come together and like meet other, you know, queer kapwa. And I'm just sad and like disappointed, because like for me, I don't really go out that often. I don't meet like new people that often. And like for this one, I'm really, really excited, because I don't know, like I feel like it's time for me to come out and like come out within my community. And yeah, I'm just very disappointed, but I'm looking forward for the get together later this afternoon. Like, I hope that's still happening. So yeah.
Jolise, can you tell us a little bit about how Pride is in the Philippines? How are those celebrations? Would love to hear about that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I immigrated when I was 16. I don't know if I've ever been in a Pride festival. Maybe you.
It's like, no, because most of the Pride in the Philippines, it happens in Manila, and we live in the province, and so like it's way more homophobic in the provinces.
Yeah.
Because it's less advanced, and so we don't really have pride festivities in there. Like, we only have like gay night shows in like small small stadiums.
Yeah, like the gay pageants.
Yeah, like gay pageants. Like, that's mostly it. But like, yeah, we don't have like marches like that.
Yeah, so you bring in actually a really important point about geography, right? It's like, where do people who are seen as other feel more comfortable? And usually that's in city centers, because city centers are like more diverse, right? But then who is policing city centers is you have these policing bodies who are usually not from these neighborhoods, who are usually from the outside. And exactly, it sounds like from more kind of provincial areas that are more conservative. And I think that that's similar to what's happening here and in the Philippines, you know? And unfortunately, even within our own people, there's homophobia and transphobia and that lack of support, right? It always breaks my heart, but it's so true to hear statements like, not all skin folk are kinfolk, right? Because policing is just so, so, so harmful to our communities. And we've seen it in the mainstream, right? Supported by people in our own communities, and unfortunately by our own politicians. You know, in November, we elected the first Filipina to city council, and literally just 1 month later, on December 7th, so like the election was November 8th, transgender queer youth, you know, this is just like one example. We really, really need to be creating more of these spaces.
I'm also expressing the need for this reallocation of police funding to more community resources, because I have many visibly queer family members. And just last weekend, one of my visibly queer family members was out with their friends and were attacked by a whole bunch of homophobic bros. So this is a violent reality for our communities every day. It's really necessary to defund the police. Because the last bit that I didn't even share with you was that after my family member was physically assaulted and physically harmed, they walked away with their group of friends who were clearly upset, found police, told them about the incident, and the police replied, "Sorry, we have to leave. We have another call. Bye."
So defunding the police is, you know, is human rights. Is like literally preserving human rights. And because we're having this conversation, you know, I actually really even have to add for the protection of the station, you know, the opinions and comments expressed here on Radio Kapwa do not necessarily reflect the opinions and comments and views of CKUT. And these are things that we have to say, right? So that we could still have this platform to talk about these things that are so sticky, icky, that we don't want to talk about, but things won't change unless we call things out and we talk about it, right? So who can I pass it to wrap this lovely conversation? Deanne, I see your comments in the chat. Please, please jump in, please.
yeah, I was just going to say that this is what happens when you work with cops then, you know, they have the upper hand. They can cancel you any fucking time they want. So that's just like a constant lesson living in a violent state like this, like a colonized state like Canada. And I just want to say, like, we're still going to pride the way we pride, right? I've already seen like three different get-togethers in three different places. So I just want to tell people to just be careful and pay attention to how many cops show up to your not official pride. Like, what happened to not being able to secure the perimeter of like the main pride, and then you'll see them, you know, policing. So just be careful out there, drink some water, and yeah, thank you to Radio Kapwa for listening to us.
Thank you so much to all of our guests. Oh, I think Coco has one last thing. Please take the mic, we want to hear everything you have to say.
I just want to wrap it up to what Desiree was saying earlier, and I've just been thinking about how like upholding the police in the state is like a form of, as a way to uphold colonization. And specifically for me, religion, because it's all based on like punitive justice and like catching people and punishing them, which is what a lot of, you know, Catholicism is, which has been deeply ingrained in us Filipino, Filipina, Filipinx people. So I firmly believe that defunding is decolonizing.
Hear, hear. I'm with that. Defunding is decolonizing. Last thoughts?
To wrap this thing up, let's listen to Ate Alele for her career minutes.
Welcome to Quick Career Minute, hosted by your Ate Alele. I'm the founder of The Informal and your first generation professional career mentor. Are you using LinkedIn for your career development? Here's how LinkedIn helped me in my first generation professional career. It helped me build and cultivate my network of professionals within my industry. It gave me a platform to use my voice and create thought leadership content. It allowed me to find jobs and access the hidden job market. And it increased my visibility to find other Filipino Canadians and first generation professionals who want to connect and book coffee chats. Because even in career development, representation matters. For more career advice, you can find me on Instagram at _theinformal or visit theinformal.ca.
Thank you, Alele, for your quick career minute. Follow her at The Informal for more career advice. I also wanted to take this time to introduce some community events going on. So the Baha'i Collective is having a concert on August 13th at 6 p.m. in Chinatown, featuring our fellow Kapwa Tamara Grace. So August 13th, as of 6 p.m. in Chinatown, and it is presented by Quartier des Spectacles. Also, Centre Kapwa will be hosting a book launch on August 18th at Baha'i Collective. The book is called Home is in the Body. Stay tuned on our socials for more information and save the date on your calendar. So I just wanted to thank everybody, if you're still listening or for listening to Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 every Wednesdays at 2 p.m. If you're looking for more information or you want to stay connected with us, you can find us on Instagram at Radio Kapwa, RadioKapwa. Please share, save, spread the word, and stay connected.
You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM. Liberation for one is liberation for all. Tuloy ang laban.
You're knocking on the right door. If you're looking for something, well, refreshing, you're tuned in to the right station. You're listening to the coolest station in Montreal, 90.3 FM on your dial. The alternative station, the one that gives you a choice and a voice. CKUT, stay tuned.
I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviera de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
MuTech Montreal, the most important festival for digital creativity and electronic music in North America, returns for its 23rd edition at Quartier des Spectacles. From Tuesday, August 23rd to Sunday, August 28th, vibe to the rhythm of more than 100 local and international artists such as Caterina Barbieri, Cora Novoa, Koreatown Acid, Luke Slater, Max Cooper, and Nicola Cruz. MuTech also has a program dedicated to professionals with its MuTech Forum and Market, which consists of 4 days of exchanges and events centered around digital creation. The complete program and tickets are now available at a preferential rate at montreal.mutech.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the Way Live Radio, CKUT 90.3 FM, every single Wednesday from 3.